On this podcast, we go beyond the numbers and deals. We dive into the mindset, strategy, and real stories of those redefining the industry. No fluff, no cliches, just real, honest conversations about what it takes to succeed. This is Real Talk Real Estate, and this is where it all begins.
Welcome to the Real Talk Real Estate Podcast with hosts Aleem Savani and Brandon Daniel.
Success in real estate isn't just about selling homes. It's about building a brand, a reputation, and a business that lasts. Our guest today is Brett Stark. He is a president of the Stark Group, star of Lux Listing Toronto on Amazon Prime, and a fashion-forward entrepreneur. He has built and scaled a real estate brand from the ground up, learning firsthand what it takes to win. Brett, thank you very much for joining us today.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm kind of going to jump into it, but with like a little icebreaker. So Brett, you know, real estate is one of those industries where everyone has stories to tell. So many stories.
Yes.
Do you remember what was a moment when you were like, yes, I'm happy I'm in this career?
A moment I'm happy in this career?
Like when you realized, I'm glad I'm a real estate agent.
But when I realized I was glad I was a real estate agent. Yeah. Has anybody had that?
Like an aha moment.
An aha moment? Yeah. So I look at this industry from a point of gratitude, and I've been happy I've done it since day one. I originally joined a team. I started my career in Ottawa, and they made me feel very at home. So I know this sounds cheesy, but like every day I have that aha moment. Like I get an opportunity to serve my team. I get an opportunity to take care of my family, and I have an opportunity to serve the community, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, like a lot of people tend to like get in the industry just for the money.
Yeah.
Right.
That doesn't work.
No.
You know, if you're in it for the money, the money will never come. Yeah. You know, I got in the industry too for that same reason. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get in here for the money. Yeah. But what happens is if you're thinking about money rather than service, you're gonna find yourself in challenging positions. I call that commission breath. And a lot of agents have commission breath. Yeah. Right. So I reverse engineered it and I made our business about serving the community rather than selling real estate. And if you ask any person on my team, if I say, hey, what's the first rule of real estate? They say, don't talk about real estate, right? People know we're realtors. See our social, they see our websites, they see our ads. They know what we do. So I don't want to push it on people. What I want to do is help people with anything they have, any problem they have, anything they want to learn, any of that I'll help with. And when it comes time for them to talk about real estate, they'll bring it up to us.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's more about you just giving value.
Exactly.
Right? How long have you been in the industry for?
Since 2011.
2011, okay. So you've seen the ups and downs and everything. Would you have changed anything from the way you started till now?
Sure. Certainly, I would have changed stuff. Like, what would be the one thing I would change right off the bat? Realizing that it's not about me, it's about my clients, right? You know, you go in there when you're new, you have your folder, you have your listing presentation, you start talking about why your brokerage is the best, why you're the best, and you're not even listening to what your clients or would-be clients at that point, they probably signed with someone else.
That's true. Yeah.
That's so true. You know, so the thing I would say is like, when you're new or even now, listen to your clients, listen to what people are telling you. Ask them questions. You don't need to be there to sell yourself. You need to be there to make them feel like they're in number one position. So a question I always ask on every listing presentation or every buyer consultation, right at the very beginning, I say, what's the most important quality that you're looking for in a realtor?
Oh, do like the buyers or the sellers, are they stunned by that question?
Sometimes they're stunned. Yeah. Sometimes it's disarming. But what it allows you to do is it allows you to build the rest of your presentation towards something that's important to them, not important to you. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when I do my presentations, when it started, it's like, talk about your brokerage.
Yeah. I know.
My last one, she's like, I don't care.
Yeah. I don't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
So on our presentation, we send a digital pre-listing link. And there's nothing about what we've sold. There's nothing about our past success. It's just about their particular property and information that pertains to them. And we want to show them that we're there to take care of them, not impress upon them how many deals we've done. That doesn't help sell their house, right? Yeah. It only helps with our egos.
Oh, that's true. I didn't look at it that way because, like, I've done, you know, mailers, a lot of direct mail, door knocking, stuff like that. And usually I'm handing out, you know, recently solds and listings. But I guess they're seeing so much of that, they really don't care. Right? Yeah.
So one of my friends runs a mail campaign. He calls it 50 Smiles. And what he does is he drives through a neighborhood. He picks his favorite houses, not necessarily even to sell them. Just says, I like the architecture of this. Or I like the red door over here. I like the pillars here. I like the landscaping here. And he'll write them a handwritten letter saying, hey, I love your house. Staple his business card to it and then put a loony into the envelope.
Wow. Yeah.
He says, hey, I'm just giving you a lucky loony. Just want to put a smile on your face. That's it. Not, hey, I'm here to sell your house.
50 smiles.
50 smiles.
That's so smart.
Right? Just tries to do 50 smiles smart. Yeah. Right? That's Wouldn't weird. You be happy if I you got a happy. Loony in the mail?
Dude, Why not?
I'll be like, I would remember that.
Exactly.
And I would call that agent.
Exactly.
For any questions I have or anything.
For sure. At the very least, you'd go on his website.
100%.
Yeah, or her website.
Or social media right away.
Yeah, usually when you're checking your mail, it's a bill or someone asking for money.
That's it.
Right?
That's so smart.
So for realtors who are just starting out, what would be the first steps or the first steps you'd recommend in building a solid lead gen system?
Solid lead gen system?
Yeah.
Great question. So first of all, I believe leads are fake. I think leads are actually a myth, is what I say in this industry. And everyone's looking for like that next big lead.
Yeah.
I call it the Loch Ness lead. It doesn't exist. It's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's not actually there. So instead of saying, hey, I'm looking for leads, and we interview a lot of agents. So I probably interview, I don't want to say an agent a day, but probably three a week that are looking to join the team or the brokerage in different capacities. And if the conversation is lead-based, I end the conversation. So if you're relying on someone to give you leads, so let me ask you a question. Let's say you two are selling leads and you have an amazing lead comes in. You're selling online leads. You have a lead that comes in and says, I want to sell my $3 million house right now. Just come to the house and list it. Are you going to sell that lead for $50 or are you going to take that lead?
I'm going to take that lead.
That's what
100%
I say.
100%
I'll take
that lead.
Leads are a myth, right?
Okay.
So what I say is I teach something called the five annuities. And I anticipated that you guys would ask this. So I actually have a worksheet on it.
Let's see the worksheet.
And I'll give it to you guys and then we'll get a digital link and you can share it with your audience. So I say there are five things that you can make money from in real estate. Only five. Everything kind of fits into this. So number one is online. So that's your ads, your social media, whatever, your website, whatever it is, your presence. Then your sphere of influence and your database. That's where most people's deals come from, right?
Yeah.
So you got to build that database. If you're a new agent, you got to get 100 people into your database. That's thing number one, okay? Then you have demographic farming. That's a particular group of people that you have unique access to. Like your clients are going to come from somewhere different than mine.
Correct.
Yeah. You're going to be in a different demographic than I am. You're going to be in a different area of the city. Maybe you're part of a religious group. Maybe you're part of a political group. Maybe you're part of a team. Maybe you're part of a giant family, like some sort of demographic that you have that I don't have. So I call that demographic farming. Then there's, of course, geographical farming. And then a huge one that agents forget about is realtor referrals. Now, almost all of my deals come from realtor referrals.
Really?
Yeah.
So referral. So you know what? Realtor referrals I've heard about. There's someone in Barrie, he makes $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
Just on the side on referrals.
Unbelievable.
And I was like, how is that possible?
He's asking.
And you know what? I learned last summer, I had two clients, sold a house here. I had to give it to someone in Edmonton. They're moving to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Two referrals, got some money. The other day, someone from Victoria, BC emailed me. And it was like, you know, I'm with Remax. If you have anybody in Toronto that wants to move out to Vancouver or to the islands, let me know. And we'll talk. And I'll send you people too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about, again, you add that person to your database. You make sure you have a follow-up for them. You make sure you have a plan. And they'll never forget, right? Try to give them value as well.
So your your referrals, are they people like from the suburbs, agents from the suburbs giving them to you downtown, or is it from?
Yeah, so they come from all over. Yeah. So we get a lot of cross-Canada traffic. I find that there's a lot of traffic between Vancouver, Calgary, and Toronto. I find a lot of people from Vancouver move to Toronto. And then I find a lot of people from Toronto are moving to Calgary right now.
Yes.
So I'd say Calgary and Vancouver are our main sources. Now on the north to south, I would say Toronto and Miami are very connected. But what I see for those is just mostly rentals.
There's a lot of rentals.
It's mostly rentals. Yeah. People are saying they're going to move to Miami to live the dream. And
it's rentals. Yeah.
They're actually just renting.
Okay.
Right.
So with staying with leads, I hear a lot, and I've been the person kind of saying this before, where I was always like, I need more leads, but I was getting the leads, I just wasn't converting them.
Got it.
So it wasn't an issue, I guess, of the quality or the quantity of leads.
Yeah.
Maybe more the quality, but it was more of the conversion rate at which I was converting them in the beginning. So for some agents, who might have leads right now that are in their database.
Yeah.
How would you approach nurturing those leads?
Yes.
Who might not be ready to buy or sell at this particular time?
Okay. So those are a couple of great points to bring up. You said nurturing.
Yeah.
People not being ready to buy or sell right now.
Yeah.
I always say that what we're getting paid for today is the work that we did 18 months ago.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. What you're doing today, you're going to get paid for in 18 months. So on terms of nurturing, what I've built out is, I call it my touch point calendar.
On the other side?
No, I'm going to give you this as well. So what I do is I take those five annuities and I build a yearly touch point calendar here, and I say what I'm going to do for each one. So every month I say, okay, for my online leads, I'm going to do this. For my geographic farm, I'm going to do this. So my geographic farm, I have an office on King Street downtown, and I live in a condo downtown. So part of my geographic farming is I post, it's very simply, in a Facebook group for the building once a month. I'm not saying, hey, I'm Brett Stark, come work with me. I'm saying, here's what's happened in the building. Here's the months of inventory in the neighborhood. Here's the days on market in the neighborhood. Here's the average price point in the neighborhood. I call it the Portlander report, right? And people love it. I'm not pushing anything on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get probably 1 to 2 deals a year from that, and it takes maybe 15 minutes a month, right? So I build out this touch point calendar of exactly what I'm going to do with the people in my database based on those five annuities every single month. So when the month comes, I just start crossing off things. So one of the things I do, like on my online strategy, is I post 12 pieces of content a month. That's it, right? I find a lot of agents have these big goals, and they're hard to get to, and they don't have a map. They don't have a strategy. So I've made a very simplified strategy. Look, it's one page for the whole year.
Very simple, yeah.
It's that simple. And it's small on purpose so that people don't put these huge, robust things that they never do.
Yeah, you don't get overwhelmed with it, right?
You don't get overwhelmed, right? So I have a newsletter that goes out once a month. How easy, right? I have my online report to the building. I have, for my sphere of influence, you know, I generally have some sort of event or something that they can join. Like, so this month was the home show. Join me at the home show. How simple. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll give you guys this too.
Awesome. Thank you.
We're going to steal it. I'm going to use it.
It's for the whole industry. I'm like, you know, I don't need to like safeguard things.
Yeah. Safeguards. Speaking of safeguarding, like, there's a lot of agents that do safeguard.
For sure. They're
right.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? And then there are people like you who are like, I'm an open book.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share. I want to help people grow.
Mm-hmm. So if you're safeguarding your information, people don't know who you are.
Yeah.
If you have this secret information, how are they going to know to work with you? Right?
It's true, yeah.
So
it's simple, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's, like I said, most of my deals are realtor referrals. And the reason I get these realtor referrals is because they trust me. They know the way that I work. They've seen me talk about this stuff. So they say, hey, if you're moving to Toronto, you should work with Brett. I trust him 100%. This is why. They understand. I've given them a tool that they can use in their market. I've given them a tip or a trick. I've given them value, right? So I think the more value you give, the more you'll get back. And that's not just true in real estate. That's true in anything.
Yeah, it's true in life.
It's like a universal law.
No, 100%. And like, I know you give a lot of value because I joined one of your online sessions.
I appreciate that.
About offer dates.
A free one, right?
It was free. It was on there. It was actually really nice. It was like an hour long.
Yeah.
And you were there with your whiteboard. You're writing stuff down.
Yeah.
And then, because I joined real estate 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined when the market was going down a little bit.
Got it.
So it wasn't like you're putting on a property and in 5 days you're getting like 20 offers.
Yeah.
But the bidding wars were still going on.
Yeah.
But as an unexperienced agent, my trouble was, how do I do this right?
Yeah.
And you know what? You can go ask everybody, but they don't tell you everything.
Well, you know, we have 70,000 agents on our board. And I'm not going to say my way is the right way. It's just a way. Yeah. So I just show people the way. And if it works for them or they can take something from it, fantastic.
Yeah.
So AI and ChatGPT, what a massive tool it is for businesses. I'm going to be honest. I was kind of late to the party. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until, I guess not long ago, fairly recently, that I started using it and implementing it to make myself a little bit more productive, business plans. And I guess what did it for me was, or what introduced me to it was, one day I was getting ready for work and I just heard my girlfriend in another room talking about herself into her phone, telling her phone what she wants from it, describing things, what she wants to do for her business. And then I went in the room. I said, "What on earth are you doing?" She looked and laughed and she said, "You're so late to the party. Like, where have you been?" Right. So I started using it at that point and it's really changed my productivity. Uh-huh. And yeah, it's remarkable how user-friendly it is. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are and if you think, or why do you think some real estate agents might have been so hesitant to start using it?
Okay. So two-part question, how I use it and why people are hesitant to use it?
Yeah.
So AI is just a tool. It's just a tool in your toolkit. I think a lot of people think that it's there to replace them. Maybe one day it will. Who knows? And first of all, you're not late to the party. It just came out. In 20 years from now, you'll be considered an early adopter of AI.
That's true. Yeah.
Right?
That's a really good way of looking at it.
It's just a matter of your particular perspective. Right? So, in fact, you know, AI just became popular in the last 3 years. So, on a global scale, you're a very early adopter.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you think you're late now, but maybe in 10 years from now, you're going to have a book about how to use AI.
I really just started using it like a month ago.
There you go. So I think a lot of people don't like change, right? It's humans, our brain is designed to keep us safe. And if there's something new, it's scary. If we don't understand it, we're going to stay away from it. Whether that's AI or an animal or an insect we've never seen before, or we're traveling in a country where we don't speak the language, you put up safeguards.
Yeah.
And I think that same thing happens with AI. But I think there's also a lot of propaganda about how AI is going to destroy our industry. But, you know, the truth is real estate's a people-forward industry. It's a people-forward industry. Like, I serve on the Toronto Real Estate Board. I'm on the Government Relations Committee. And the stuff that the board does to advocate for its members is unbelievable, right? And AI is just a tool. It's not a replacement. It's not scary.
Yeah.
And right now, like, most of our AI stuff is just chat models or makes a weird picture that doesn't just quite look right. And if you think that, like, some AI that's making six-fingered people is going to take your job, probably not, right? Okay. Unless your job is drawing six-fingered people.
then you got to be worried.
you got to be worried a little bit.
Yeah.
But in terms of how we use AI in the business, so we run our business on Google Business.
Yeah.
Very simple, and we use Google Gemini. We're more on the Gemini side than the ChatGPT. Very, very similar product. Mm-hmm. Just a Gemini's baked into
Google
the way that we do our business. And we've used it for a couple simple things. Number one, our email sequences. You know, we're asking Gemini to create us email sequences and lead flows that are high converting.
Oh,
and it
works.
It works, right? But challenge is, eventually, all these lead sequences are going to be AI, and then people aren't going to use them. And we're going to be right back to square one.
That's true. Yeah.
Right.
It's all
cyclical. And then we heavily invested in a CRM for our team that's AI heavy. So we can make social posts, websites, CMAs, anything in a matter of clicks now that used to take us a whole marketing team, 2 or 3 days and one or two different drafts just to get through. We can do it on our phone like immediately.
So when you're doing like the CMAs and everything, your productivity has gone up.
For sure.
Right?
For sure. But it's not a replacement, right? It's like, we use a tool called Maeve. Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
It's like ChatGPT mixed with Realm. Okay. So it has access to all of the board data.
Okay.
And you just ask it questions, but it's not always right. So if you can say like, hey, Maeve, it's a text-based model. Hey, Maeve, right now, I'm in Liberty Village. What's the average price per square foot in 75 Western Battery? And it'll tell you, here's the average price per square foot. But you still got to double check it. I don't think AI is there yet where it's in a place where it's perfect. I don't think maybe it never will be.
Yeah, I don't think it will ever be perfect, mm-hmm. but it'll be close.
Mm-hmm.
But that little bit of imperfection is what the human touch does.
For sure.
Right?
For sure. But in terms of AI, I focus more on building relationships rather than what AI tool is coming out. I think it's a buzzword. I think it's an exciting thing that people like to talk about. But I don't see or I don't know of anyone who has a super immersive AI strategy whose sales have gone from $0 to $1 million a year. Right? It's just one other thing to maybe get a callback.
Yeah. But once you get that callback, you still have to put work into it, for sure. Right? So it doesn't take you from point A right to the finish line.
That's right.
And I think a lot of advertisements are like for lead generation, especially, it's like we have this AI tool that will, you know, take you from 0 to 100 like that.
The last thing I want to do when I'm on any sort of website is talk to an AI tool. And I have to imagine that our clients feel the same way.
Yeah. It gets frustrating. Like if I'm on like the Rogers website and I need
for sure.
a bill problem, I'm like, come on, I just want to speak to a live agent.
I'm the same. Yeah, I think that's why the industry is going to continue the way it has. Yeah. People want to speak to a live human.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I want to touch about something of how I found you, which was Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So how did that come about where, I guess, Lux Toronto approached you and... Like, how did that?
It's a good story. Yeah. So we were at a Richard Robbins conference.
Okay.
Or Tom Ferry. I can't remember. One of the two. And we like to go to a conference every year as a team. It's fun way to learn things and get together. But we were at a conference and there was like a visualization exercise. Like, imagine what you want and it will happen. And everyone's cheering. You know what it's like at a conference. And I said, you know what? I want to have a TV show. And I'm a big reader and I do believe in manifestation, but not so much of just thinking something's going to happen. But if you think about it, feel it, and take the actions to make it happen, for sure it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Thinking is just one of the three parts. So I said, okay, I'm going to write down once a week at our team meeting that we are going to have a TV show. Lo and behold, I got this email from... Amazon Studios USA.
Wow. And
there's this woman named Corey Diamond. She said, hi, we're thinking about doing a Lux Listings Toronto, a spinoff of the hit Sydney series. We think you'd be perfect for it. And I wrote back, sure, do you want my credit card number or my SIN number? how does this work? When do I get my plot of land in Scotland, or are you guys offering Nigeria? But then what I do is I use, do you guys use BombBomb or Dub or any video software?
I haven't, but I should definitely start.
So every first email that I send to someone, I always make it a video email.
Okay.
Right. And what those softwares do is they make a GIF, and I like to hold the person's name on the phone.
Okay.
So they can see their own name.
Yeah.
Because everyone's favorite word in the English language is their own name.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So someone yells, Brett, I'm looking around.
Yeah.
Right? So I wrote her name and I said what I just said. And she said, you know what? We'll "Well, I'd love to interview you." And I was like, "What kind of scam is this?" So I went on her LinkedIn. I was like, "Okay." She wrote that she's a producer at Amazon, and then I looked deeper, and she's like, "The producer of Million Dollar Listing New York and the Million Dollar Listing LA." And I said, "Well, if that's the case, then on her Instagram, she would have pictures with all these guys."
Yes.
So I look at her Instagram, and sure enough, she has pictures with all these guys.
Josh said, Flay, yeah, everybody, yeah.
Right? Sirhan. Yeah. And
Josh Altman.
Yeah, Frederick Acklin, yeah, all these guys. Yeah. And I said, "Well, if she has pictures with them, maybe they follow her." And then I looked, and they follow her. And I was like, "Maybe they have pictures posted with her." And I went for a scroll, and sure enough,
there she was.
There she was. And I said, "Oh my God, is this the real? Is this the real deal?" So then they flew in to meet us after they interviewed us, and they're like, "Show us the best of what Toronto has." I said, "Well, that's so subjective, right?"
Yeah.
They're like, "Show us something that only you can do." And I was like, "What can only I do? Like, there's 3 million of us in the city. Like, I'm one of 70,000 realtors. Like,
yeah.
What can only I do? Like, how do you answer that?"
Yeah.
Right. But at the time, I owned this boat, and I said, "You know what? I'm going to take them on the water at night."
Oh.
And see the city from a different angle.
Yeah.
Because it looks unbelievable at from nighttime. Lake Ontario at night. And I showed them that, and they fell in love with the city. Right. So at the time, they were thinking about doing it between Toronto and Vancouver, and I had to sell them on Toronto.
Toronto.
Right. And that's nice. And that's the origin story of how that happened.
So then they casted you.
Yeah, they casted us. And then
they cast a couple others.
Yeah. And Peter and Paige. And Paige.
Yeah. So how has that changed your, I guess, changed your life?
It hasn't.
No?
No, it hasn't. Yeah. So I think when you have a TV show, people think that, you know, people are going to watch the show, which they do. And then, like, we were lucky enough, we were number 5 on Amazon in Canada last year. And, like, globally, the show did super well, which is super, super cool. But the thing about global viewership is they're not buying real estate in Toronto.
That's true. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In fact, they can't buy real estate in Toronto right now because we still have a foreign buyer moratorium. Yeah. So it's actually, like, not a helpful lead tool whatsoever if someone's watching in a country that you're never going to meet, in a country you've never been to. But what people think is going to happen is people are going to watch, pick up the phone and say, "I want you to sell my house." Doesn't happen. You know what happens? People go on your website and you don't know if they're 11 years old or 79 years old. You don't know if they rent or if they sell. And it just becomes an online lead, just like any other online lead. But what the only real difference is, like, taking selfies with people on the street.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily that they're going to buy or sell real estate. It's that they're taking a selfie with you.
Yeah.
So if your goal is to get more selfies taken, for sure, having a TV show is going to help with that.
Yeah. You were telling us you got some selfies downstairs.
Yeah. Too, so. Just on the way up in the elevator lobby there. Yeah. But the change comes from the inside, right? The real change happened when I made the decision that I wanted to have a TV show. Because we started acting like we had one, which is what led us to have one. And that was the change. And it's that mindset. So if you look on the Touchpoint calendar, you see that I have major goals written down.
Yeah.
So people need to know their goals. Most agents, I talk to them, I say, "Hey, what's your goal this year?" And they say, if they're a new agent, what's every new agent's goal?
To sell homes.
What dollar amount do they want to make?
$1 million.
No, new agents. They always want to make 100 grand.
Yeah. 100K. Yeah.
I want to make 100K. And then your more veteran agent says, "I want to make 250. Yeah. And then your team leader says, "I want to make 500.
Yeah.
And your top performer says, "I want to make $1 million. Imagine publicly traded companies work like that.
Yeah, it would be.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But we have these goals that aren't measured in reality whatsoever. There's no plan to get there. There's no targets. There's no nothing. It's just a feeling that you have. So what we did is we make an actual roadmap based on realistic goals. And that was that's the change in the business that I had. And how I get there, you guys ready to see? This is the last piece of paper I made for you.
You knew what we're going to ask you before.
It's almost like I had a list of questions. This is called, I call it my 4-hour workday transformation shortcut. And because you're asking when what changes.
Yeah.
The change doesn't come from something that happens to you. The change comes from inside, and then things start happening to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And it's not just in real estate. It's with everything. Right? So this is what I ask people on my team and myself to do every day. I'm asking people to have 5 new conversations. Not 10, not 200, not 500. 5. That's it. I'm asking people to make 5 follow-up calls. Simple. On my drive here today, I was just making follow-up calls. Little 5-minute calls. Hey, how's it going? Right? 5 follow-up texts. Not 100. 5 videos. Now, most of it, that can be a story on your Instagram. It can be an actual reel. It can be a TikTok. It can be one of these video emails. It can be you wishing one of your buddies a happy birthday. But video is so powerful. I would say video in our current state is way more powerful than AI. Because they know it's you.
Yeah, it's a touch.
You're not trying to replace the human element. You're making the human element more. So then I'm asking people to do 15 minutes of personal development a day. That can be reading. That can be a meditation. It can be whatever you're into. Watching a YouTube video, listening to a podcast like this. Then I'm asking people to ask for 1 review or referral every single day. That's why we have so many Google reviews. My team's actually asking people for reviews. Then you have to write your major goals every single day. Because if you have a major goal and you only write it down in January, and then like, oh, you're like, next year is the year. This year the market was down. I'm down. You know, my weight's up, but my bank account's down. Next year's the year. Yeah. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And then I'm asking people to write down what their weekly appointment goals are. So they're on the way. They know what they're trying to do. 1 hour of personal care included in their workday.
I think that's huge.
It's huge.
I'm trying to do that in the workday.
Yeah.
Is break up at least 30 to 45 minutes.
That's it.
For me.
That's it. Yeah. So you know what I like to do? I like to just walk my dog on the street, right, for 1 hour. I get my 10,000 steps. I call it a day. If I do my 10,000 steps a day, my suits fit. Yeah. If I don't do my 10,000 steps a day, my suits don't fit.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I say, what are you doing today to beat? And I leave it blank. That could be a competitor. It could be a different version of yourself. It could be a period of time. It could be something in the future. It could be anything. Because you got to remember, if I'm doing something today, my competitors are out there trying to beat me.
Yeah.
Right? So, and here's where it gets more interesting. People are required to do a daily gesture of kindness, which is incredible for me because I get a lot of coffees. I get a lot of cookies. I get a lot of treats. Yeah. But that right there is what puts you in the mindset of service and about other people, right? And then I have a very small spot for people to put their daily flow because people try to bite off too much and then they don't do anything and they get overwhelmed with anxiety or overload or I'll start tomorrow. Don't start tomorrow, start today, right? So, and then just a little journal. What did you learn from your personal development in 1 sentence? What was your daily success and what was the biggest challenge you faced today? Then you give yourself a little score. And if you do this 5 days a week for a year, you're going to notice huge changes, not just in your business, but in the way, in your fitness level and your mental health, everything. So that's just a super simple tool that we use.
Yeah. No, I believe in manifestation mindset. I do every year. I'm going to change a little bit to what you're doing, but I do write down every year what my goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And once a week, I do write that goal down.
Imagine you wrote it every day.
Yeah, and I don't do it every day.
Sure. Yeah. There's something about taking something from the mental world that exists in your head and putting it into the physical world. And I don't think that works if you're taking notes on a phone because you're putting it from your emotional world into a digital world. I think you need to bring it into the actual physical space.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works, yeah. But I'm definitely not the first person to talk about this.
That's where I am. I'm putting notes into my phone. And my partner, she got me a journal, I want to say probably a year ago. And she wakes up every morning with her cup of coffee. She'll start writing 10 things she's grateful for, like first thing in the morning.
A gratitude journey or a journal.
Yeah. I think it was, she started reading that book, Magic before. And then she tried to pass it on to me. I started reading it, never finished.
The Secret?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Sorry, The Secret.
The Secret, yes.
Great book.
And she is huge on the whole manifestation thing. And I don't know. I tried it for a little bit and I didn't keep up with it. And I'm back to like making notes on my phone. And yeah, I'm losing consistency that way.
It doesn't work the way you expect it to. And so on our team, we have this cheeky saying, we call them real estate gods. And we say, we never know how the real estate gods are going to either punish you or give you a listing or give you a buyer. And they're never acting the way you think they're going to.
Yep.
But they do give you stuff. And obviously there's no such thing as a real estate gods. But if you look at it from like the universe or God or whatever you want, whatever you put out into the universe, you do attract to yourself, right? Yeah. So if you're coming to the workday with a positive attitude and gratitude, then you're already winning. Mm-hmm. And then you become magnetic. And if you're magnetic, that's when real estate deals start happening. And then you know what happens is it doesn't become something that like is the cornerstone of your life. Like, you notice we haven't talked about money or sales volume at all today.
Yeah.
Like it's not necessarily relevant. It's just a byproduct of what happens when you're working on yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. Like 2 years ago, same thing. My wife, 2-3 years ago, she's like, you know, gratitude, manifestation. She made me write it down on a piece of paper. I got to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see if you put negative out there, you're going to attract negative.
For sure.
Put positive and like your life will change.
That's right.
Yeah.
So like we can't change the market. I always say the market is the message. We're just the messenger. Right? We can't change
it. That's true, yeah.
Right? A lot of agents try to be the market. They're not, right?
Yeah.
So we can't change it. But what you can do is change the way you react to it. Like, for example, if the market's going down and a lot of people are going power of sale and, you know, it's why not get more relationships with B and C lenders so when the property goes power of sale, you're in a position to win.
Yeah.
Right? If, you know, there's a market that's a buyer's market, great. What a great time to go out there and get new buyers, right? But it's always like people seem to, not everybody, but a lot of people always seem to concentrate on the negative and just talking about the negative rather than going out there and doing something about it.
No, and I think that's the best way to say it because someone asked me the other day, they're like, you know, market's so bad. How are you finding customers? I go, listen, everybody needs to buy. Everybody needs to sell. Just because the market is up or down, there are people that need to do that.
Yeah. When people say the market's so bad, it's so bad, it's terrible, it's so horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at a 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 year graph. It's one of the best real estate markets of all time.
That's true.
It's not so bad. It's super reasonable. You know what's a bad market? Is when things are selling in 2 days and you're getting 47 offers on a property and it's not being inspected. And people are making manic decisions and there's just straight up mania in the marketplace. And then house prices balloon and then the next generation can't afford them. That's a bad market.
Yeah.
You know what's a reasonable market? When certain areas go up based on the value they provide and certain neighborhoods go down if they're not providing the value to the consumers. That's reasonable. And I think that's what we're in now. We're in a reasonable market. Some things you do provide value. And you get rewarded by the marketplace. Some things you do that don't provide value, the marketplace is going to let you know that.
No, that's 100% true. Speaking of generations, what do you think is going to happen in the next 5, 20, 10, 15 years with the younger generation coming in and trying to buy something? Because the prices did go up since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I know interest rates are coming down, but do you think it's going to be harder for people to get into the market?
So one of my favorite sayings is, the only easy day was yesterday. So I think it's going to be harder for people to get in the market. For sure. Definitely. Right? Was it harder for us than it was for our parents?
Yeah.
Right? Definitely. Do I think things are going to equalize? For sure. But we look at this always from a Toronto lens. And like I serve a lot of downtown Toronto. So people always look at it from a downtown Toronto lens. Now, we live in a huge country. There are more cities than Toronto.
Yeah.
You don't have to live here. If you don't like the real estate prices, there are other beautiful Canadian cities that are a third of the price or a quarter of the price where you can have an excellent quality of life. If you work online and in the digital marketplace, you don't have to live in Toronto, right? You can go to Ottawa, which is a beautiful city, and live half off, right?
Very true.
People just look at it from a Toronto perspective. And I think as Toronto gets more and more expensive, it'll force people to look at other alternatives, right?
Yeah. I know Alberta, a lot of people from Toronto, sorry, from Toronto are moving to Alberta.
For sure.
More affordable for homes.
They're more affordable and they're showing value.
Yeah.
Right? And if the value that for some people, if it outweighs what Ontario has offered, they'll make that move.
Yeah.
And then the pendulum will swing that Ontario has to offer more value or go back and forth.
Yeah.
So there's a fear right now, I guess, with the economy. So what would you what would be your take on the tariffs and how that's affecting the market?
There's definitely a fear of the economy right now. Can you remember when a time when there wasn't?
No.
Can you remember? Yeah, there's always been a fear.
So if I look, we're all about the same age. We had the recession. We had 2001, September 11th. Yeah. We had Y2K.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
We had COVID. We have tariffs. We have the Trump presidency. There's always something, right? There's always fear in the market. And with tariffs, that's a great question. I asked my followers that question the other day. And the truth is I have no idea, right? I'm not an elected official. I don't even know if elected officials know. But what I do know is if I look at like another crisis management thing that we went through, which was COVID, right? First of all, we're all still here. So we got through that.
Yeah, we did.
Right? Yeah. But my crystal ball wasn't saying, Brett, when the world shuts down and you can't go get your hair cut, you can't go to the bank, and God forbid you went to a restaurant, what you're going to be able to do is go into other people's houses on showings with someone who was just in someone else's house. That didn't go through my mind that we would be able to do that. And then it didn't go through my mind that we would enter the best real estate market of all time during this crisis. That wasn't something that I thought of, right? So I think the tariffs could have a negative impact, or I think they could have a positive impact. And I think on civics, you know, one of the things that Canadians have a hard time doing is identifying what makes a Canadian, right? But with tariffs, it makes it super simple. You're not American.
Yeah.
Right? It's a cornerstone thing of what makes Canadians different is that we share North America, but we're not American. So I think for civics, it could create more civic pride. And sure, it could hurt the economy. I saw an article that, you know, if all these tariffs go through, it'll hurt the consumers on average about 6% a year. Okay. That's a lot for a lot of people. But do you think you could save 6% more money right now?
Yeah.
Right. You think you could spend 6% less at a
100% you can.
Right?
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, 6% is not much. Yeah.
Okay. And let's say we do get, for example, 6% inflation from it. If you own a house, it's $1 million and now it's $1,060,000. Did that not just act as a hedge against tariffs?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen. It can go either way. Or nothing could happen. So it's just another thing that the market and the newspapers are doing to sell ads on their services. But really, like, development charges have gone up 850% in a decade. That's way more than 25%, right? Yeah. That's 825% more than 25%. Like, that would be something that I would focus on. I saw just yesterday there was an article saying that Toronto Real Estate Board, or sorry, that the City Hall might consider lowering some of the development charges because of the tariffs. So
Well, that'll cause more projects to be delayed as well, right? So I wanted to ask you, so Brett, if someone who is new or who has perhaps, you know, been struggling in their real estate career, coming from you, someone who's, you know, very experienced, has done well, if you had to start over, but no connections, what would be your game plan? How would you do it?
Okay. So I'm starting from scratch. Done nothing. Here we are.
You just got your license in hand.
So it's super cool because I actually had the opportunity to do this. So I used to sell in Ottawa. And then I said, I want to sell the big leagues in Toronto. And I thought, you know, the property values are more, so I'm going to make more money.
Yeah.
that didn't happen like that. You know what happened? I'd be puffing my chest saying, oh, I sold so much in Ottawa last year. Like, in, I think I sold 12 million bucks last year in Ottawa, which in Ottawa is like big money. In here, they're like, 12 million bucks. Like, really? You think that's cool? Like, right? But yeah. No one cared. So first thing first, I do if I'm a brand new agent starting from scratch, don't worry about building your personal brand. You don't have a brand. Your brand is you're new. That's your brand.
Okay.
And your brand might be that you're trying to hide that you're new and you're new. So don't worry about the personal brand. Join a team. Don't worry about the brokerage. The brokerage models are all there to serve agents. Every brokerage is going to tell you they have the best training, the best support, the best services, the best brand, the best customers, the best everything. They're all going to say that. There's not one that's going to say, you know what? We're actually the worst.
Yeah.
Don't join us. No one's going to say that. So, but what does matter is the team you join. I think if you're a new agent, you need to find an experienced mentor to help you get to that next level. And that person is not the agent that's selling $300 or $400 million a year. That's not the person to help a new agent. The person to help a new agent is someone who's maybe 2 or 3 years ahead of you on their real estate journey, right? So if I have a new, brand new agent enter the marketplace and they're entering the rental market and they're on showings all day and they're doing the Facebook marketplace thing, I'm probably not the best person to give advice.
Yeah.
Right? But if someone is opening their first office and they have a medium-sized team, they want to have a large team, or they're thinking about becoming a partner in a brokerage, you know, I've been doing that for about 3 years at the partner in the brokerage side, maybe I am the right guy to talk to about that. So you have to find the right person, that if that makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah.
That's I think, the cornerstone to starting a successful career. It's very hard to do this business by yourself. You know, we say that people get into real estate because there's no ceiling. There's also no floor on how much you can spend on different tech.
Yeah.
Right? You can get $10 a month to death, right? You can get AI research and nothing changes in your business. You can go to every different seminar for $500, $1,000, $10,000 and still you haven't sold someone. But what you need is someone to bring you through who's just above you, who you can like grasp and see, like, I want that person's lifestyle. I can get there. And you have to be respectful to the people who came before you, right? We're not the pioneers of this industry. We're not. It doesn't revolve around us. It certainly doesn't revolve around me, right? And, you know, I got to be in a cool position because I got to represent the Toronto real estate market along with Peter and Paige globally. But that doesn't mean that, like, I represent Toronto's realtors, right? I'm just a member of the board like you guys are.
Yeah.
Right? I have no special powers. I can't sell your house to like someone who I, like, you know what I mean? It's just, I have the same strategies as anyone else. I might run them differently, but I have access to the same information that you have. But it's finding that one person or group of people that's going to elevate you to that next level, in short.
When you started, did you find that person?
I did, yeah. I did it when I was in Ottawa. A guy's name was Chris Coveney. And, you know, when he found out I was moving to Toronto, I was trying to keep it like a secret.
Ugh.
It's like, I'm going to move to Toronto. It's going to be a big secret. I'm going to be the best realtor ever. But I was sending these emails on my work email that he had access to. So when he found out about it,
He's
like, I need to talk to you about something. I was like, oh, boy. He's like, I want to meet outside of the office. And I'm like, oh,
crap.
He knows.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, how can I help you move to Toronto?
Oh, nice. Supportive.
That's what he said. How can I help you move? What can I do to make your move easier to Toronto? Who can I connect you with? Right? You want to interview with different agents that I've worked with? And, you know, last Monday, I run my team meeting every Monday. Last Monday, he shows up at my office. He's visiting with his wife. He shows up at my office, brings us cookies.
Wow.
Says, hey, glad you're doing well. Nice to see you. Let me know next time you're in Ottawa. Like, that's a true leader. That's a true mentor.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he only wants the best for you, right?
Exactly.
Why did you move? Are you originally from Ottawa?
No. So I moved to Ottawa for university, and I was also in the Army.
Oh, you're in the Army too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And just like if you're like civically involved, you just kind of get drawn to the center of that world, which is Ottawa in Canada. Yeah. Beautiful city, great city, amazing people, great real estate market, super stable real estate market.
It's
like if you want stability and you want a logical marketplace, Ottawa outshines Toronto every day of the week. Right? You can still get a cash flowing property in Ottawa.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? Their market is run by logic and reason rather than hype.
There's a lot of hype in Toronto.
There's a lot of hype. We get the branded condos. It's all the hype, right?
How old were you when you joined the Armory?
I was 18.
18? What made you?
September 11th. Made me join the Army. Yeah. That's my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I said, you know, if I'm an able-bodied guy, I think it's my duty to protect people who can't protect themselves.
So, how long were you in there for?
I did about 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. It was great fun. Great people. I still have a lot of friends. Some of my friends are still in.
That's good, yeah.
You know, I've been lucky that, you know, everyone's still around that I trained with. And most people have had great careers, either in the Army or not. But it teaches a lot of, teaches an unbelievable mindset, actually. So
I would imagine, yeah.
It does. So even till this day, like one of the things, my personal motto is adapt and overcome. It's on my Instagram bio. It's everywhere. And it's even, you see this? It's on the back of every single one of my suit jackets.
Yeah.
Adapt and overcome. So that I know that if I'm having a rough day, you know what? Like, oh my God, I didn't get a listing. You know what? I'm not in a trench. There's not a drone flying overhead of me. I'm not cold. I'm not tired. I'm not wet. I'm not hungry. I'm not away from my family. I'm not away from my friends. I'm in my luxury car. If it's cold outside, I have the heater on. If it's hot outside, I have the air conditioner on. Like, it's not that bad, right? So whatever we're going through, and there's going to be a different challenge every single day. Just adapt and overcome. That's what the Army taught me.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. You go to Carleton or Ottawa?
Carleton.
I went to Carleton too.
Where did you live in Rez?
I lived in Rez.
Which one?
Oh, man, I can't even remember. So long ago. Carleton. Yeah, I went to Carleton.
We were there at the same time.
I was there for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I came to Ryerson.
Did you go to Ollie's?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was in those four floors. It wasn't a communal washroom area. It was like.
Oh, you were elite. We had the communal washroom. Yeah. I was in that tower.
That was the G.
Glengarry.
Glengarry. Yeah, I had a lot of friends.
I was in there.
Yeah, yeah. So I was on the other side.
Beautiful.
And I got it luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Like I didn't get placement at residence.
Yeah.
So I moved in with somebody, some random person. And then as soon as September came, like 2 weeks later, I got a call. Just one spot. Do you want it?
Nice.
And I was like, sure. Then I get to the admin office and they're like, your spot got taken. But there's one more, but you have like, you're only sharing a washroom with three people.
Beautiful.
I was like,
I had to share with my whole floor.
I know. I've been in those washrooms before.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, that's cool. Yeah. Awesome. Because my sister lives in Ottawa right now too. She's with the government. So I know the real estate market is.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
And fantastic.
Right. To Ottawa.
I don't want to, but like my parents, my dad grew up in Ottawa.
If you want fast city living, you want that vibrancy, Ottawa's not it. Oh, if you want stability, for sure.
It's for sure,
definitely more stable than here, right? But that's what, back to our previous conversation. Canada's a big, beautiful country. It's not just Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think people in Toronto forget about that. Definitely people outside of Toronto do not forget about that.
No. Yeah, very true.
My cousins remind me that all the time. Yeah. But they're from Vancouver. They're like.
That's it.
So.
You know, on that note, you know what's very interesting? Where are you from?
I'm from Toronto.
You're from Toronto? So. You know, when you travel the world, most people say, like you ask them where they're from, especially American, they're going to tell you what state they're from.
Yeah.
Ontario is one of the only places that I've ever, might be the only place that I can think of where people don't say they're from. Have you ever said that you're from Ontario?
No, I always say Toronto.
Yeah, I've never said it.
Right?
Yeah, I never said Ontario.
And you know, like when a concert comes here and they're like, what's up, Ontario? And you're like, well, we don't say that.
Toronto sounds much cooler.
Right? Yeah. But like any other province For example, people would be like, oh, I'm from BC.
Yeah.
I'm from Manitoba. I'm from Alberta. I'm from Saskatchewan. I'm from the Maritimes. I'm from Quebec. It's only Ontario.
That is so true.
Right? It's only Ontario. We have no like identity of what it means to be an Ontarian.
That's very true.
never thought about that. Because now I'm thinking, I'm like, everywhere I go, I say Toronto.
Exactly.
And then when I meet people, like, I was in Jamaica, they're like, where are you from? Toronto.
Yeah.
And we met this couple, and I'm like, where are you from? They said BC.
There you go.
Yeah. In the market right now,
yes.
What advice would you give buyers, especially first-time home buyers, that are waiting on the sidelines?
Okay. People who are waiting on the sidelines, if you don't get in, you're always on the sidelines. It doesn't matter what the market's doing. If it's up, down, left, or right, if you're not in the market, you're not part of the conversation, right? So if people think the market's down now, then take advantage of that. If you think the market's too expensive, then continue sitting on the sidelines. But there's no real answer to that question because I can't answer it for other people. Yeah. If what I would say to them is, if they're waiting on the sidelines, what is it that you're looking for? What is it that's going to make you jump in? And if they say, oh, you know, I think I'm going to wait till the fall. And you say, what's important to you about the fall? What are they going to say? They have no idea.
They have no clue. Yeah.
They have no idea, right? So you have to keep digging to figure out what it is. Maybe it's they need to be pre-approved for a certain amount. It has nothing to do with the market. That's just what they're used to saying. It's an easy way out. But really, what they're waiting for is that next raise. Maybe they're making that $85,000 job right now, but they have that $110,000 job on the horizon where they can see that someone's about to retire.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to figure out what it is for each person, and every single person is going to have a different answer.
No, that's true. And is there a season 2 of Lux Toronto coming out?
So we don't know. They don't tell us anything at all. Oh. Right. We're just part of the Amazon machine.
Yeah.
Even for season 1, we didn't get the green light till about, well, we had the green light, but we didn't know we were filming schedule until about 2 weeks ahead of time. Wow. They keep us in the dark so that we can't say anything.
That's smart, but frustrating.
It's part of the machine. Yeah.
How was it though with the cameras following you? Like, you know, they say sometimes it's like scripted a little bit.
Yeah. So it's not scripted.
Yeah.
There's no scripting in the shows. Things can be, how can I say it? Enhanced,
yeah,
but not scripted, right? For example, there's like a scene where Peter comes into a listing on a boat. We're probably not going on boats to listing,
yeah,
right? Or you know, just things like that. So they'll enhance, but there's no scripting. There's no conversation about what we're gonna say or how we're gonna react. And then how cameras are, it's you know, the golden rule: don't look at the camera.
Yeah,
which is super easy. Until you open a door and there's three cameras there.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just gonna look around. I remember looking at we did like a test day. And they're like, Brett, you're walking on this like angle. What's up with that? I'm like, oh, I'm just trying not to look at the cameras.
You're like, yeah. No, but that's cool.
It's interesting. I always, once again, talking about my partner, she watches all the reality shows.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm always there, like in the background, you know, working on my computer, having a look, and I'm like, that's got to be scripted.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe some might be, but it's interesting to know that it's.
Ours is not scripted whatsoever.
That is not.
No. So, you know, one of the things they say about reality TV is like the reality is kind of a myth. Like, obviously, okay, everything's elevated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you take like a Kim Kardashian show, for example. What would you do if you saw Kim Kardashian and a bunch of cameras following her around right now?
Take my camera out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever see that in those shows?
No.
Right. So if you're seeing people not doing that, or for example, eating at a restaurant and they're just carrying on their conversation and never looking at six giant cameras that are around.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably those are paid extras. Mm. Right. But it doesn't mean it's scripted.
Yeah.
It's just that the scene is set.
Okay.
Yeah, right, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So think of it as more of like reaction TV,
okay,
rather than reality.
Okay.
And you would do a second season
for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had a great time working with the crew.
Yeah,
amazing production crew, amazing directors, amazing camera crew, amazing support. We actually at the end of it, we threw a party called Crew Fest for everybody.
Wow.
We had an incredible time.
That sounds awesome.
Sick. I do think now we're running out of time.
That's beautiful, man. I appreciate your guys' time today.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Brett,
very much. Thanks for coming on. This was awesome. A lot of great insight from you. And I appreciate it, man.
I wish you guys all the best and all the luck. And I hope the real estate gods are on your favor.
Yeah, I'm going to awesome. I'm going to take Thank these you. And start implementing them.
They're for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll send me the link as well.
Yeah, I will.
And then we'll post that up. If anyone needs to get hold of you.
You know, I'm easy to find.
Easy to find, yeah.
I'm easy to find.
Yeah.
Go on the website. You can email me. You can go on my Instagram. Easy to find.
Yeah. All right. Perfect.
Awesome. Okay,
thank you very much.
Yeah, man. No problem.